wonderful time of worship, beautiful, wonderful hymns, praise songs, and it just makes you, pumps you up and makes you ready to hear the word and just to give praise and thanksgiving to God. And thank you, congregation, for singing and expressing your love for God from your heart. That's what we came here to do, to come and worship together and sing God's praises and give thanks to Him. And so it's just delightful. And David, thank you for always, he's always ready to minister. And so he's coming, and we wanted him for you, those of you that are new, to have opportunity to hear him minister in music. And so that was a blessing to us. Thank you so much, David and Chris. That's such a pleasure. And I want to encourage you, it's just miraculous what God has done with David and Krista and their Sweetwater ministry. They have moved, and it's just the whole ordeal that God has worked in their lives is a beautiful expression of God's grace and God working in a family and in their lives to do great and mighty things, just wonderful things that God definitely has His hand on. But I would like to ask you to pray for their ministry. And David is an aquatic biologist and has always had an interest and a desire to help people, to care for the poor and provide good water for them. And it's a ministry that will be associated with the gospel. And so I know there weren't many that turned out yesterday that were able to be at our place. And I know there were so many things going on, and it was short notice. But to get opportunity visit with David and Krista about what incredible things God is doing. And it's we're certainly excited for them, and we'll be praying for you. And we just, you know, what incredible blessings we have enjoyed from God's good hand. I was thinking this week, you know, I was thinking of Aiden. There was a little boy that had a really rough delivery, something that God miraculously put His hand on, and we have this beautiful little boy here in our congregation because God protected his life and brought him and gave him to us, gave him to Chris and Pamela, and I just those memories of the wonderful things that God has done. I was thinking of Ben this week and how God delivered him, and how thankful we are, and how many miracles that we've seen, and the mercies of God as blessings to us as God's people. And so I just had a really full and grateful heart this week in studying God's Word and studying our passage this morning for all of His goodness and mercies to us. Let's be a people of prayer and continue on in the fight. I want to encourage you, the cultural impact team was put together to help, to assist us. I know that it's difficult. We're coming upon, and I want to encourage you, because we're coming upon an election, and we will either elect people that represent us or not. But we have that opportunity and that blessing. So I pray that that we will engage as God's people. I hope we didn't have a good turnout Friday night in prayer for the nation. And that's okay. I understand that you're busy, and I hope that many of you are at home praying for our nation. But I do want for you to understand that these primaries are very important as to whether we as American citizens will send people to Washington, D.C. and Austin, Texas that represent our values or not. And so it's very important that we engage as citizens, but not as citizens, but as godly people to find out who these candidates are, to find out if such issues as the abolition of abortion or pro-life legislation is going to go forward or not. And so many times that we've had so many politicians that have come upon the elections, and they will tell you to your face, I'm with you, I'm pro-life, I want to stop this abortion, this bloodshed that's taking place, or I don't like, and I'm with you about transsexuals and men and ladies' bathrooms and children's bathrooms and dressing rooms. I'm against those things. But then they go to Washington, D.C., and they finance Planned Parenthood. You know, I don't understand it. We know that they're harvesting baby parts, for crying out loud. We need to stand. We need to take action as God's people. And so all of those are on the back table are suggestions of candidates that have been screened and we've talked to. There's some really good candidates running in these places this year. And it's your responsibility as a Christian, but also as a citizen in this country, to send someone to Washington, D.C. and Austin, Texas that's going to take a stand against these things. And here's the thing. Going to Austin and meeting with some of these politicians and with some of them that really are on our side and understand the values that we should hold as that we hold as Christians and should hold as a nation, they're taking an incredible amount of heat. I mean, they're being yelled at and screamed at, and you will be too. As long as you stay within this church, within these doors, it's going to be okay. They're not going to complain. But once you step out there and start stating the truth, then they're going to attack you. And these politicians that do represent your values are being assaulted. I mean, literally their lives are threatened, and they're taking the heat for you. So what that means to me is that we have to take very seriously not only praying for this election, but engaging as God's people and as citizens of this country if we care about these things. So I want to say that as we go to our sermon this morning, and it's not about politics, but it is about morality, and it is about Christianity being outside these doors. And so when we look at the qualities for growth, when we consider these things, it's related. And your Christianity can't be contained in here. And the gospel is not just preaching the gospel of salvation, but if you look at the Great Commission, it is, and teach them all things that I've commanded you. In other words, we're to spread the truth and the blessing and the health of God's word. And it can't, Christianity can't stop and stay within the doors. And it's more than just preaching the gospel to people, but discipling them in the truth of God's word for the health of people. So we, as God's people, need to stand and we want to grow. So this morning, as we look at our passage in 2 Peter, I did want to say, It's 15 years that Lori and I have been here, 15 years that we've never been out any more than two Sundays. I've been sick, I was trying to think of it, maybe like one or two times, maybe three, I don't think so. Next week will be our last week before we head out for Israel. And so I want to ask your prayer for us. Lori's not here this morning because she's down in her back. She couldn't even move to get out of bed. So we need your prayers. We need to stay healthy. We've got not only the trip and the travel in a tight plane, but also we have a lot of hiking to do when we see some of the sights over there. So if you would be so kind to pray for us. I know that this church is in such good hands, and there's such good leadership here and people. There's no concerns. It wasn't that I was always here or that we were always here because we didn't think that things would go well if we weren't, because we know they will. We're very grateful for you. And those Sundays, these 15 years, have been more out of choice to be here than out of obligation, because we, Lori and I, truly do love this church body. We love you and have enjoyed these 15 years. So thank you for the opportunity to, in the sabbatical, to spend some time in Israel and get some rest. We need some rest. But we always want to be here with you, and it has been no challenge for us to be here these 15 years that we've had at Grace Bible Church. So let's look at our Bibles. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses through 11, if we could, I'll read. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, apply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render neither useless nor unfruitful in your true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. This morning, I want to look at verses 5 through 9 and consider this wonderful truth that our Lord Jesus Christ has abundantly supplied these wonderful divine power, and that those wonderful, magnificent and precious promises whereby we might be made partakers of the divine nature. It's inconceivable still, hearing God's word, to imagine all that it means that we get to partake of God's divine nature through the word. But this is such a powerful and wonderful thing and necessary thing. And it's tragic that as we look at Christianity in general, we simply have lost sight of this wonderful truth that that God has given to us. He has granted this divine power whereby that we might... He's granted to us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And we go, well, why is it that I'm so miserably walking in this Christian life and struggling constantly and having constant battles with the flesh and these things? And how do we know and experience the greatness of this victory that God has given to us? And so these are the things that we want to speak about this morning. If you haven't, if you didn't hear the teaching on verses 3 and 4, I would encourage you to go to our website and listen to that. Listen to those verses and meditate and bask in this truth that God has given to us. That we have opportunity as God's people not only to stand here in the righteousness of Jesus Christ justified and without guilt before God this morning, but God in His mercy and in His abundant, lavish grace has given to us by His divine power all things that pertain to life and godliness. Wonderful, marvelous grace. I just, you know, it makes me think of the song, wonderful, wonderful grace of, you know, that marvelous grace and wonderful grace that God has given. The supply of it has been given to us. So in these verses, in verse 5, it says, now for this reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply, and then it gives us this list of characteristics. And so we want to look at the qualities for growth, for spiritual growth, that are given to us in God's Word this morning. And first of all, we see that from this verse that he's calling us to, this would be harmonizing the seven qualities in your faith that are listed here. Now, let me just say this up front, that these qualities are basically the attributes, the beauty, the glory of Christ. If you notice in verse 4, it says, for by these. It says, for by these. I'm going back just a minute here, but in verse 4, it says, for by these He has granted to us precious and magnificent promises. And that for by these refers to Christ's glory and excellence. So the person of Christ, when the scripture says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, beholding that glory and the moral perfection and the glorious nature of Christ is what God has done. It was His plan. It was His purpose for us to behold that glory and for that glory to transform us. And so it was by these. And now He's saying, what I want for you to do is to take those characteristics of Jesus Christ, that by faith, these precious and wonderful and marvelous and magnificent promises that have been given to you, whereby you might be made partaker of the divine nature, and apply these things, harmonize these things with them. And he lists seven things there in regard to that. Now, for this reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence in your moral excellence, and then it goes on. So let's take a look at it and think about it just a minute. So he is saying that we are to eagerly choreograph. The idea, this Greek word is the word for choreography. It's the word that choreography is taken from in our English language. But the idea there is that the Father's plan and purpose is choreographed through God's people. The steps that we take in the plan and the purpose of God, when God's will through His Word is spoken to us and we're walking in step with in obedience to God's Word, then God is choreographing His purposes through His people. That's the idea that he's talking about here in harmonizing these qualities in your faith in such a way, and get the major purpose for this. that you, as those that have been chosen and called by God, elected by God for His purposes, to demonstrate to the world God's plan, the unfolding of God's plan. And He's using you in ways that you don't understand. But He, as the master planner, the one who provided a plan for the redemption of mankind, that He might save some and bring them out of their death and separation from Himself, God has choreographed through you to step in accordance with His Word. And to step in accordance with His Word and obedience to His Word is to step in accordance with His will. The Word is sweet to us. The Word is precious, because there is the beautiful sweet spot where I'm taking my step, that God has ordered it in accordance with His Word. He's ordered it in such a way that all of this tapestry of things that happen in human history, that God through you is doing something great and mighty, awesome, exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. And it behooves us to believe Him. And so faith is the essential element here. And you'll notice here in this verse, "Now for this reason, also applying all diligence in your faith supply." And this supply, that's the major term that we're looking at here in choreograph. Bring in chorus, eagerly choreograph. Now the idea where it says, "Now for this reason also applying all diligence." Let me address that just a moment here. But in applying all diligence, that means that we're the idea of blending or bringing together diligence and haste or eagerness. Now I want to speak to you about this, because it's very clear from the passage, and if you understood what we looked at in verses 3 and 4, that living the Christian life is based upon God's grace. It's not based upon our power or our haste in doing so, but this word where it says blend the precious and magnificent promises, the idea of supplying all diligence, blend those precious and magnificent promises in all diligence or eagerness. And what that tells me is this. It's not, and this is the thing about the politics as well. We can go off in the energy of the flesh very easily, and we do it. You know, I mean, that happens to us. But what we need is to be energized by God's power and to know His grace. And these words right here that we're looking at are really key in what it means to live by the grace and the power of God and experience God and His magnificent promises living through us in such a way that we experience the divine nature. Man, think of it. Think how awesome that is. But what He's saying is supply with this, applying diligence or eagerness. And the idea to me, and I believe that I'm correct in saying this, that this word can be translated for haste, and it does speak of the urgency, but not the urgency in the energy of the flesh or doing something by our own strength or our own wisdom, but by the grace and the promises of God, experiencing that divine nature and with hunger in our heart. God wants for you to desire righteousness. He wants for you to desire holiness. He wants for you to hunger for the beauty of Jesus Christ to be shown in your life. That's what he desires most of all. And it's why the great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all of your strength. God desires for you to hunger for Him with urgency, with intensity of desire to hunger for the beauty of Christ. And His Word here, it's so beautiful. So incredible, and only God could have conceived it. The power, the divine nature of Jesus Christ being displayed through the people who by faith are laying hold of who He is. They have beheld the Son. They've beheld His glory. And they've seen His moral virtue, His righteousness, His valor. And their heart longs for it. And that, I believe, is the intensity and the eagerness with which He calls for us to harmonize with our faith these wonderful qualities. And the first of those is His moral virtue. Now, faith is, I kind of use the illustration of this choreography. It can be used in the sense of a chorus, and the chorus is kind of from this word as well. So if we think of it as an orchestra, you are in an orchestra. And the first violinist, he steps up and he plays A440 for tuning. And everybody tunes to A440. Out of that tuning in the orchestra comes, you know, all of these wonderful parts and harmonies that come together. And that's the idea of applying this with all diligence, your faith, to supply moral excellence. And then it gives us this list. But there's a harmony with the gifts in the body of this church at Grace Bible Church. There's a harmony being expressed by what the Holy Spirit has given to each one of you to offer up to God in service. When the Scripture says to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, for it's your reasonable service. What an incredible thing. But for each one, according as God has gifted, and think about it, God in His wisdom, in what He foreordained for you to be born at this particular time, in this particular place, for His particular purposes, He's choreographing, He's tuning His orchestra at Grace Bible Church, that your gifts, that your service to God, that what you offer up to Him is being expressed in such a way that He is doing His purpose and fulfilling His purpose through His people. This is how we as God people function and in accordance with the gift and the calling of God. There's that expression. And so we're to eagerly engage in the manner in which God calls you, and to serve Him and to love Him and to worship Him. And in so doing, we're proving the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, because we're living in the light and truth of His Word. It's a wonderful thing that God has done. And so He calls us to harmonize with our faith. Now let's think about faith for just a second. Because faith is the expression of, I trust You. I trust what Your Word says. So this, what does the Word say? Well, we go back to verse 4 again, in verse 3 and 4. And it says that God has granted to you. Okay, I want to personalize this to you. And I want to point my finger at you, because God has granted to you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Is His Word true? Is His Word true? Absolutely true. We know it's true. And so in our struggle, where's the victory? Why is it that we're so often defeated as God's people? Well, faith. And faith, it has to be through faith that we believe what God says, and that we walk in light of His Word and His truth and what He said. These great and precious promises, what is it? Well, it's faith. It is God's grace that is given to you, and is the expression of your faith or your trust, your reliance upon the truthfulness, the integrity of what He said to you. That's the whole deal in sanctification. That's the whole deal in living the Christian life. It's all about His promises and obedience to His Word, and believing that God, who came down and took upon Himself flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, means exactly what He said. We can know victory. We should not walk in sin. We should not walk contrary to those words, those promises, because just by trusting in Him, He propels us through that which is humanly speaking impossible, which cannot be done. And I'm speaking of all kinds of things. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Well, that's an impossible thing that God has laid before us. I mean, Christ is selfless and I'm selfish. And how am I going to do that? Has God really supplied all things that pertain to life and godliness to you? Husbands, you can love your wives as Christ loves the church. Don't sit there and say and think that you can't, because Christ has called you to this and He's commanded this to you. And so therefore, by faith, you embrace that and you live selflessly as Christ, not up to the standard of Christ. He's Christ, but we're partakers of that very same divine nature. And so you say, oh man, God's word says that we're to love our wives as ourselves. Ugh. Man, how am I going to do that? Well, is God's promise true? Is it true to you? Then love your wives. Love your wives as Christ loves the church. That moral virtue was given to us in Christ. And when he said, I came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many, that's the very essence of the glory. Going back to that verse, go look at it again. In verse 3, it is Jesus. And the true knowledge of Jesus who called you to His own glory and excellence. And that word for excellence there is moral virtue. Or I like to use the word, it can be translated valor. And the reason I like to use the word valor when we're looking at this moral virtue, it's the same word in verse 3 and again here. The valor of Christ. And what you see of Christ is that here's this Messiah, and this Messiah, He not only displayed the glory of the Father to us, the beauty of His excellence and His holiness and righteousness and justice and wonderful character, but God, through Christ, also displayed to us what it means to be a hero. So, you know, when you look at this word for moral virtue, maybe we could think of it in the sense of hero. Because Christ in His valor demonstrated that unselfishness in such a way that it shook the world. It shook everything. Because we saw what it means to be a true hero. When He went to the cross and died on the cross of Calvary for you, in His valor He displayed what it meant to be selfless, what it meant to care for someone else. And there's an activity in moral virtue. There's an activity in valor. You see, you can have certain characteristics and be a nice person, but to have valor requires courage, requires strength. It requires that divine power that God gives to God's people. That's what's necessary. And we need that courage. We need valor so that our Christianity is activity. It steps outside these doors. It goes home with your husband and with your wife. And wives, I don't mean to leave you out. You're called to submit to your husbands. Well, that's difficult. And it's challenging and it's impossible from the human perspective at times. But that doesn't matter, because the Scripture tells you, and the command is, submit to your husband. So submit to your husbands. Learn what it means. Apply yourself to doing it. And God will enable you to do that, and you will be an example before the world, proving the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now that is what we need. These are the things that we need. We need the moral virtue. We need to apply to our faith moral virtue. Now these seven characteristics are characteristics that can tie and connect to one another. And just like the harmony of the orchestra, where they work together to provide this beautiful music, and it's beautiful to the senses when these things take place in our lives. I know that you are in the struggle, and you know that I'm in the struggle. You've been with me long enough, most of you, to know all of my flaws and weaknesses, and you've seen my flesh. I'm sorry, you know, that you've seen so much of my fleshly nature and all of these things. But these are ours, and they're to be laid hold of. And God has supplied them, and we're to orchestrate them into our faith. That moral virtue, that valor, that courage is ours in living the Christian faith. And it needs to go outside. It needs to be outside these doors. We can't cuddle in here and huddle in here in our church body and not carry the truth and not carry speaking the truth and caring enough about speaking the truth and living the truth before the world that God has placed us in, that we would be salt and light in the earth. Secondly, it says, now for this reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, so there's a connection here that's interesting, supply knowledge. Now this knowledge is the knowledge of God. It's the, let's see, there we go, yeah. It is the knowledge of His will. It's the knowledge of truth. It's the knowledge of the spiritual realm, about what's really eternal, what's really important, what eternal life means. Now, Jesus Christ said, if you behold the Son, and we look at Him, and we see His moral virtues, we see His glory and His valor, it's transforming. And so a knowledge of the Lord Jesus, a knowledge of God's will, and a knowledge of those great and precious promises. That's why we memorize the Scripture, why we encourage you to memorize these verses, and so that they're hidden in your heart and you're meditating upon them, because in God's Word is God's will. And so when we take those in, and Jesus said, if you abide in me, and thank you, David, for your wonderful song this morning. It's a beautiful song. Abiding in Christ. If we abide in Christ and His Word abides in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That tells me the same thing that's being said here. These great and precious promises, these magnificent and precious promises, make us partakers of the divine nature. And so the knowledge of God's will, the knowledge of His Word is essential. We want to add to our faith knowledge of God's will for us. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of Him who sent me, the will of the Father. Jesus was so connected, and He taught us to be so connected, that the Father's will is our will, and our will is the Father's will, and it's one. And in that, there's victory, there's glory, there's the power of God, there's the glory of God displayed in the lives of God's people. So to know His will is to know His Word, to know what He's given to us in these great and precious promises, and to walk in light of that truth. And moving on here, and so we add to moral excellence that knowledge. And then in verse 6, and in your knowledge, self-control. So we go from God's will and from the moral virtues of Christ, and we're supplying and building these in our lives. And so we come to self-control or temperance. And that involves both the rule of the tongue and our desires, our fleshly desires, having self-control. And that self-control is for us, it's spirit control. If we're going to partake of the divine nature, it means that there's temperance or control in these fleshly appetites that the Spirit of God has over those things and those tendencies in our old nature. And the flesh will war against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, but God wants for you to have that control, or for His Spirit to have that control. And that's the very expression of the divine nature that He has given to us in Christ, as we lay hold of both our tongue and our fleshly desires, so that they're in subjection and under the control of God's Word. And the Scripture says that we're to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due time He will exalt us. So our pursuit, that eagerness, that drive is for that blessing, that wonder, that glorious expression of eternal life that's given to us in Christ as we behold Him. Scripture says if we behold the Son and believe in Him, then you have eternal life. He's given us to us eternal life now, present tense, and we can know that joy and peace and the fruit of God's Spirit, and we can display the living spiritual reality of Jesus Christ through our lives. That's what we're given. And it's our responsibility as well as our blessing that in light of those things that there's to be this control. And then moving on in verse 6, and add to self-control perseverance or patience, either one here. You can use either one of those words for this. But add patience. Was that a misstep there? There should be patience. There we go. That's all right. So you're seeing what Lori puts up with me in. But patience.
There's no answer.
Oh, I'm sorry, brother. Well, I'll give you cues. There's an answer machine. There's an answer sheet in the back room back there. So that's my failure on my part. Sorry, bro. Patience. I'll give you cues. All right. This is patience. Okay. But the idea is that we're to add to self-control, patience, wait on God. Perseverance, read the Psalms and look at how often it says the psalmist declares, I'm waiting on the Lord God. Lord, I wait upon you. I look to you. Lord, let my heart trust you. That posture of perseverance, of patience, and waiting for God to act on our behalf, it's a requirement. You add that patience to the Christian life and to living the Christian life. Or you fall aside, the perseverance is, you come up short, but God says persevere. Jesus taught us you're to continue in prayer. You're to keep going in prayer. Keep praying. Persevere. You keep praying in confession of sins. When you fail, you confess it again. And you give God thanks that He promised. That His Word says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And by faith, you believe Him, even though you're guilty, and even though you're deserving of being thrown out. God takes you in by the supply of His grace, and you simply believe His Word. God, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sin, and so I'm coming to you. I'm not propelled away from you, but drawing near to you because that's where my help is. And so I confess, and it says, and He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so by faith, I believe the promises of His Word that I might experience His divine nature. And He says, I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So believe Him. So what sin are you struggling with this morning? There's victory for you. There's glory in Christ and there's victory for you. And His moral excellence, His virtue is transferred by God's grace through faith into your life. It's a wonderful relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And the more we know Him, the more we trust Him, the more we recognize and realize in reality, we're talking about not this practical and pragmatic unbelief that we fall back on, but the more that we believe in His integrity and in the Word and what He said by faith and embrace those things, then the quicker we'll experience the victory that He's already given to us. All things that pertain to life and godliness. But patience and endurance and perseverance in regard to God's kindness, perseverance, endurance, mercy, kindness, forgiveness to others, learning to forgive others, learning to overlook their faults here, and as they're in a struggle. I'm in the struggle. You're in the struggle. And the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And if we start picking each other apart in regard to all of our faults. Shame on us. The God that has seen all of our dirt and that listens, and by His justice and mercy, He's faithful and just to forgive that and pardon it and overlook our flaws and draw us to Himself. And we won't do it to one another after God has expressed that kind of forgiveness and mercy to us. Shame on us. Shame on us. But often we all struggle with it. You know, we expect, we have high standards for our husbands and for our wives and for our children. We see that potential, and so we start picking apart and picking them apart because we expect high things of them. We expect a greater demonstration of these things that we know they're capable of, and so we begin to tear and we lose kindness. And if there's anything that God's people need most of all, it's kindness. We need to learn to be kind to one another. You need to learn to be kind to your wife and your husband. And you know, don't let your husbands come home and experience that coldness. But when they come home to step into this beautiful place of relief and refuge, that's a home. That's what it's supposed to be. But you got to work for it. You know, you set your mind on having what God has given to you, and it's given to you by His grace. It says all things that pertain to life and godliness. You can have a home as such, but it's going to require two people that put aside these kind of things, and they're going to, by patience and perseverance, express more kindness and forgiveness than criticism and pickiness. Now, there's a place for constructive criticism. There's a place for saying certain things. And then there's pickiness. And there's where we destroy one another. And we need to apply these things to our life. Apply patience. And then to your perseverance or patience, godliness. Godliness is Christ-likeness. It's His moral virtue. It's His glory and His valor being displayed through His people. Be a hero. Each one of you can be a hero in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, in the glory of Christ. You can embrace godliness. You can know and experience His divine nature within you, living in and within you. Godliness, living for God and exhibiting His characteristics, being just, being forgiving, being kind, being loving toward one another. All of these things, these characteristics, are ours in Christ Jesus. They ought to be displayed on us. They ought to be written on the way that we look at each other, the way we care for one another, the way that we relate to one another. This is real Christianity. Throw out the religious stuff. Let's go for this. Let's go for these things that Peter's feeding those in Asia Minor here, probably the same group of people or some similar group of people. So add to your faith, to your patience, godliness, and then it goes on in verse 7, and to your godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness is that affection and selflessness toward others. And that's what a church needs. We need to display brotherly kindness. So that being kind to one another and selflessness, the expression of selflessness, as Christ, again, expressed selflessness. And then add to your brotherly kindness love. What a beautiful orchestra of godly characteristics of Christ. What an amazing thing if we can just lay hold of it. But we're going to lay hold of it understanding that it's God's grace. You can't fabricate these things. But you know what we can do is pray for one another and encourage one another in regard to these things that He's commanding us here to supply to our faith. Let's supply them. Let's see the glorious things that God will do in a group of people that lay aside the weight of sin, that lay aside any distraction from that eagerness to supply to their faith these characteristics. What an incredible thing. What an incredible opportunity. Think of it. We can live a life where these characteristics are true because He has supplied all that we need in it. And that's what we want. That's what we need. That's what we must pursue. And God is able. He is powerful to do what He is doing. He can do. And by faith, we believe it. And so let's pursue it and let's pray for one another and go after these very character qualities and characteristics that glorify our Lord Jesus. And, you know, the bottom line, it goes back to this, doesn't it? How much does Grace Bible Church, how much do you, how much do I love the Lord Jesus? Do we really love Him? Do we really know Him and trust Him the way that we need to love and trust Him? To live godly in Christ Jesus. And these are the things that are essential for us. And He wants that relationship with you. He's supplied all that's necessary for this kind of relationship with you. And it's simply a matter of a decision of your heart and faith on your part. So we want to grow that faith, don't we? I want to grow it. I want to move that direction. And I know that you do too. I know that this church body, that you love the Lord. You've expressed it in so many ways. But let's move on and let's apply these truths. Memorize this passage. It's a wonderful passage to lay hold of. Verse 8, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus." Okay, you're right on task, Steve. Thank you. These qualities should exist. Now, I use the word exist because it's translated, "if these qualities are yours." But the word actually, it involves begin under. It means to exist. It means that if you have these qualities, it means basically if you've trusted in Jesus Christ and been born again, if these qualities exist in you, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, that Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, quickening your mortal body, if they exist and increase, okay? That word for increase means to superabound, okay? That ought to put a smile on faces. If those qualities exist within you and superabound, that means they're increasing, they're growing, just like what we're talking about. Let's pursue this. Let's lay hold of this potential for Christ to live in us and for us to experience this divine nature and all things that pertain to life and godliness increasing and increasing. That's what sanctification is, what it means to live and walk with God. It means to bring it forth in abundance, increase it, increase these qualities in our lives. These qualities, it says, renders you, and Steve, moving on here, neither useless nor unfruitful. Okay, all right, we had the verses there, but we're moving on here. Let's go on to these qualities render you. Okay, they render you. That this word for render is a cool word as well. it can be translated ordained. So Steve's going, "Where's the render?" But it gives this idea of these qualities are appointed in you. They're ordained in you. And again, it's the nature of the word speaks of God's grace, of God's provision. If these qualities exist and increase in you, they ordain you, they render you. In that choreography of the plan and purposes of God, they render you neither useless in that plan nor unfruitful. Isn't that awesome? That is amazing stuff. Useless simply means unemployed. Okay, it can be the idea of money or finances that are not growing, that are not that are sitting uselessly. It can be used. Yeah, Steve, that should be the next in the full knowledge. Okay, I don't know what she's done there. Okay, yeah. There should be in your notes, neither useless nor unfruitful, right? Okay, and this is not coordinating with it. Sorry about that. It's an error. Okay, I have it on two. So I have it reversed in my notes for some reason here. Okay, so if you go to the next slide, we got useless. And yes, okay, sorry about that. Neither useless nor unfruitful. The idea there, again, is that you will not be immobilized. You will not be paralyzed, but you will be useful. You will be in that choreography, in that harmony of the work that God is doing, the plan that God has for you. Okay? So, and then if we can go back there, Steve, if we go back one slide, then we find in the full knowledge of, in the true knowledge or the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is the second time this phrase has been used. And you'll see in 2, the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. And in verse 3, the true knowledge of Him who called us. And here, the full knowledge or the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's the real deal. That's the thing. Not religion, not something that's off over here or off over there, but this is the real stuff. The full knowledge that comes in Jesus Christ has been given to us. And the promises of God ordain useful completion of God's plan. That's His glory. In God's plan is God's glory for you. In God's plan is also fruitful service in your life. You're not no longer useless, but the glory. And you're no longer unfruitful in the service in your life, but you're experiencing valor. So you're experiencing that nature of Christ, that what we've seen in Him is experienced in our lives by God's grace through faith. Verse 9, For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. The lack of these qualities render you blind to the purification of sins. That, and basically I'm just going to summarize it here. That means without valor. You lack the qualities that God renders to you, that blind to the purification of your sins, and that renders a person without valor, the opposite of Christ, the opposite of our pursuit. And then secondly, there in that verse, they're nearsighted in regard to His eternal glory. Okay, so there you have the same characteristics of Christ that are spoken of there in verse 3 and reemphasized to us in regard to the glory and the valor of Christ. But the one that is nearsighted, the one that does not see clearly in regard to eternal glory, there's the loss of glory. So God encourages us to pursue that glory. Father in heaven, thank you for your wonderful word and for the truth that is in this passage. God, lay it into our hearts that which is needful and necessary for us as your people to honor you, to glorify you, God, to lay hold of these wonderful truths, to apply, to supply, to choreograph these things with our faith or in our faith, in our lives, that Christ might be exalted and lifted up outside these doors in the way that we live, in the things that we speak, in the attitudes that we have toward one another and toward others. Make us like our Lord Jesus. Conform us as you have predestined for us to be conformed unto his image. We pray, Lord, that you would work those marvelous things in our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.